happens around me. I have a house that was built in 1916. It's the oldest remaining roadhouse on the Columbia Gorge Highway. So it was built originally known as Forest Hall and then Maxwell House. Throughout all of its years, up until the past 20 years, it's been a commercial establishment. It was a restaurant, another restaurant, it was a nursing home, so on and so forth. I'm in it, and it's my private home. Sometime in the future, and we keep getting asked to do this sort of thing, we would like to do, retire, make a bed and breakfast out of it. Mm-hmm. The original, earlier gorge bills, not the one as passed, but actually precluded me from doing that, in that if I did it, the government would have been required to come in and condemn the property because of change of use to commercial from residential. Okay? Then, because of the area where I was located, I actually live near Bridalveil, although I have a Corbett address. And Bridalveil area has been targeted for some level of development. I think that's, you know, there's some important things that need to support traffic along the freeways. The Forest Service would have been required to do one of two things: maintain it themselves, or turn around and sell it to somebody else and operate, let it essentially operate as a restaurant. Somebody else could, but I couldn't. The bill was changed, and I was given assurances that that was not the purpose of intent, even though that's what it says. Yet you get some support groups that tell me, well, yep, that's what it says, and then you go to Hatfield or Wyden's office, and they say, oh no, you know, we would not intend to do something like that. Another case in point, somebody who lives in Corbett, this is not even in the special management area, wants to add a bedroom on to her home and make a bed and breakfast. It's out. Does not comply with the plan.
Well, there's no plan now.
Well, I know, but it doesn't comply with what they anticipate the intent to be. There's still supposed to be a review process. And what it says is, in the scenic area, there's no industrial and commercial is discouraged. And Corbett is scenic area.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
Appreciate your comments. Did you raise some of these issues before the House committee when they were...
Yes, our testimony on the boundaries, on economic review, and on, a couple of other points were in the August 5th testimony. In fact, I have the book here if you'd like to read it.
No, I mean the House committee that sent us this bill.
We were not, in fact, we found out about this quite by happenstance through your office, and we appreciate the information. I found out about it about, 2:30 yesterday afternoon?
Oh, you're talking. Okay.
I got a question. I didn't mean to interrupt. If I have a question, I
think. No. Well, I think what you probably should do, and I appreciate the comments you've made, and I think some are very legitimate, and I think maybe what you might want to consider doing is work with your delegation from that area. And I think what the chairman was trying to indicate, as far as I understand the bill, and just seeing it here this afternoon for the first time, but it's my understanding it's kind of the enabling legislation that's setting up. But I think that some of the specific points that you address certainly should be raised and brought to a point of discussion.
What our biggest concern is, and maybe it doesn't become a part of enabling legislation, there may very well be, and I'm asking, because of the need for Washington and Oregon to possibly pass identical bills.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Even something that would come out of a committee that we're sitting with a community out there, mm-hmm, that was highly volatile,
sure,
and very antagonistic to this thing. Mm-hmm. We generally have community support now for it. Uh-huh. I mean, we've been critical. We've been critical all along, no question about it, but we've been positive. But we've been supportive of protection of the gorge. We've had public meetings, and we've had people come and make presentations, and generally, it's a wait-and-see sort of thing. I'm sticking my neck out on the line. Several other people are in the community, and in a small community, it gets chopped off fast.
Well, I appreciate your
And I guess what I'm saying is, if we could get something that would clarify the purpose and intent up front, even if it was in the form of a motion from a committee that says that it's our understanding that the purpose and intent is not to cause the types of scenarios that we're describing. We've got a lot of scared people. And, me too.
I understand. I think that, well, certainly I think the committee will work as hard as it can to convince the commission that we wish them to be very cooperative and to be understanding and to work with all the concerned parties. Putting it in legislative language probably won't fit in this particular vehicle. And, you know, believe it or not, we can write laws, and sometimes the state agencies just ignore them.
well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannon, might be appropriate to, when we go into work session, to at least indicate for you and the other people's assurances that it's not the legislative intent to create that type of situation. The intent of this legislation is to create the instrument to cause the two states to come together for the purpose, but are certainly not the intent to
that would be
stick
if
it to
we
the
could get
people
something
Corbin,
that would come out
and
of
I
that
think
process.
That might address your concerns.
That would be, I think that would be
at least have assurance that we're not deliberately sitting there and saying I'm trying to take advantage of you.
Great, well, thank you very
another,
much.
I, oh, any other, do you have an appointment? Are you the gentleman who called and going to get you an appointment with the electorate also?
No, that's Ted.
That's Ted.
Yeah, Ted Davenport. He's having a meeting with somebody else from, who's the meeting?
Okay,
but today he's meeting with some people from the Economic Development Commission.
So. Okay, well, it's important to also communicate your concerns so that in the appointments process and as the charge for the commission is developed by the governor's office that you're representing.
I understand that quite clearly. We've tried calling several times. I haven't had a return call personally, but Ted has. So. I'll keep trying. If I run into a problem, I'll call you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I have a couple of questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Gilmore.
Yeah. Obviously, you're working through your local representative and senators.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. How many people are members of the East Multnomah County Community Association?
I don't know. The total area represents around 3,000 people. Technically, we can't say that they're all members. I think at one point in time somebody did. We have dues-paying members, I would guess, of around 300, 350. It's an off and on. Depends on what the economy is like, whether people pay dues or not, quite honestly.
Oh, I understand it. I don't mean it as facetious as it might sound, but I've got a lot of things put on my desk
there
that I find out that him and his wife are the only members.
No.
You know,
we've put on a...
And, Senator Hannon's comments were directly along my line. This body is Ways and Means. We're sitting here with enabling legislation to put something together. And, Senator Hannon spoke very frankly for me. I'm not interested in getting maybe at this point in this body into the technicalities and the concerns you have, which I personally believe are very valid concerns. And whether it was through federal legislation or the development of a commission or whatever, your right definitely should be to make sure that your point of view is understood. You're headed in the right process.
We're just going to take
lots of my constituents wait till after it's done and then come and wonder why I did it.
Well, I'll tell you, we could be charged with that to some degree, I suppose.
Then on the other hand, lots of times they don't get concerned until they are affected.
Yes. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My constituents are very similar to your constituents.
Well, we share the same county, that's why.
Yep. Representative Jones.
Yeah, I would comment that, I haven't had time to study this particular bill here, but there's some wording in here that, have the power and authority to adopt suitable rules and regulations, perform all the functions and so on of the Act, and maybe the very things that this gentleman's been talking about may be in there, which would prohibit them from doing the things that he's talking about. So I'm not so sure that this is just a simple little bill. I got an idea that there's more to it than that.
Well, it's to comply with federal legislation and what we've been...
I understand that, but what I'm saying, Mr. Chairman, is that I agree totally with Senator Hannon and Representative Gilmore that, by gosh, I don't intend to be a part of crippling things that's been presented here today with what little effect I had, of course.
Yeah, I might bring Mr. Breckel back to deal with that. Is there anyone else that wanted to testify? I want to make sure that... Is Mr. Ross vanished?
Okay. I see someone with their hand partway up.
Oh, is there someone who
Is there going to be testimony tomorrow on this bill?
I invited testimony. If you have something to say, perhaps you'd like to come forward.
Yes, I would.
Okay. We'll answer your question.
Elizabeth Frankel from the Sierra Club. As many of you probably know, we had people hanging doorbells, trying to get this passed, putting door hangers on, phoning. There was letter writing. It was a top priority of not only our organization, but a lot of organizations that cut across not just environmental issues. One of our real concerns, and with the bill, we had assumed from the beginning that this legislation was designed to be added protection for the gorge, that we weren't going to lose any of the existing protection we had, that the intent of the legislation was primarily to do something about the folks in Washington who didn't have our land use planning laws, and that was kind of the goal, to get not a common denominator of protection, but at least get the Washington protection up to something similar to what we had. I'm somewhat concerned about what I'm hearing, and I just a little bit ago got a copy, and I'm looking at section six of the amendments. And my concern would be that we not substitute in the management of the gorge for our existing land use laws, goals, and guidelines, that we not substitute for them. And I recognize that there may well be some problems in terms of the way in which you interface those, who gets to appeal to whom when there are injustices and so on. But I believe that it would be an extreme embarrassment to the people who passed this legislation initially were it to be known that we were going to substitute for our land use laws this federal legislation.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say that more strongly. The reason that I'm bringing this up in terms of this bill, among other things, is that if, in fact, we are going to go through this process of coordinating the land use laws of the counties, I think the budget, which I have not seen, is going to have to consider that as an item.
Yes.
And in terms of protecting our state's present role, I don't see how you can really overlook that. I'm sorry, I was going to prepare for tomorrow. So this is very much...
I can invite you. I've been thinking along some of the lines you're saying. I'm not convinced at this time that we need to end run county planning or state land use planning.
Particularly the goals.
Exactly. And
okay.
Just not sure, Senator Hammond.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate what you're saying as well, but I don't have a copy of the federal law, so I can't relate specifically to it, but the bill states, if you also look in section one on the front of the bill, that the Legislative Assembly of the State of Oregon hereby ratifies the Columbia River Gorge Compact, set forth below, and it states that it's by federal law. Now, I would assume that the federal law takes precedence over this. And the sense that we cannot in Oregon regulate what they do in Washington, I can appreciate the raising of the standards that you want there. The reason for this compact, as I understand it, was to create the enabling legislation to have a joint compact between the two states that they would have the regulatory responsibility for the land use planning. Now, however they do it, to the rules that they adopt, just as we told this gentleman here that he should address his concerns through that commission, I think you're going to have to address some of your same concerns. And again, I'm not trying to put your down.
Sure, I understand.
But again, this is the enabling vehicle, and we can't spell some of these things out because for Washington to enact a similar statute, similar to this, then we have to have the language identical, as I understand it. We can't deviate.
May I address that?
Go ahead.
I'd like to address that, because I was in Seattle for a meeting over the weekend and found out that there was a lot of concern about the enabling legislation they were passing in the state of Washington. And there was initially a bill, which I'm not quite sure whether it was actually in the bill or was proposed, to exempt the gorge area from the Shoreline Management Act in the state of Washington. My understanding that has now been cleared up, and the newspaper article, and I had this confirmed about an hour ago on the phone, the Washington measure now has an additional section requiring that actions taken by local jurisdictions and the State Department of Energy under the State Shoreline Management Act comply with the Federal Gorge Act, which is a very sensible thing, and I think that was the kind of intent of the act. The question comes, for example, when you amend the act as you do in Section 6, mm-hmm. what in fact does that mean? Does that mean that we are essentially making the Gorge Commission a new LCDC? Are we giving them the authority to enforce our statewide land use goals or not? And these are questions I simply raise. In other words, I agree that enabling legislation is a skeletal mm-hmm. prospect, but
your
obviously
question
is this kind
your
of
question the meaning of Section 6, and you're also raising a budget question. I mean, I heard you raise a budget question.
Yes, and both of them, I think, are extremely important,
right.
And I know I've been around the legislature far too long mm-hmm. where I can find out in, for example, this new the supplemental bill that's supposed to come out mm-hmm. that we find out at that point you can't do or you can do certain things because you've already passed the budget.
Yes.
I've heard that.
Well, in Section 6, it says, as except as provided in Sections 1 and 2, draw your attention to Section 2 is just up above, and it says, the governor of the Columbia River Gorge Commission and all state agencies, of which LCDC is a state mm-hmm. agency, and counties are hereby directed and provided authority to carry out their respective functions. LCDC will carry out its function according to that. Very clearly spelled out.
And we'll continue to put that question back to the Gorge Commission. I appreciate your noticing it.
This was brand new to me, the amendment, so that blinded me. The reason I really came was to warn you that if indeed the state is going to assert its role,
yeah.
you've got to have a budget.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Jeff? How about generally responding to what you've heard and making us feel better?
Well, I think to go back again, very briefly to the last question that was raised with regard to LCDC, I don't see anything in this particular enabling legislation that's going to alter LCDC's responsibilities within the Columbia River Gorge. The section that is being amended there simply is one that allows us to create this commission, because state law had previously stated if you're going to have an interstate compact on land use, LCDC was going to be the party for Oregon.
Oh, okay.
The federal law says this commission will have 6 members from the state of Oregon, and they will be appointed this way. Essentially, this is necessary to allow us to enter into this particular compact. It does not affect LCDC's responsibilities. And again,
what happens when the compact ultimately sets some standard that's to be a standard in the gorge? At some point, it would seem that standard could supersede any county or LCDC action. Once the commission, the joint state commission, has come to a conclusion,
that commission could, in theory, set a standard that exceeds state land use goals. However,
a standard that would, if you used exceed, could it also set a standard that was
below?
Below, if you can, I don't know how you define that.
Sure.
It's all a matter
less stringent, less restrictive.
You know, as a matter of perspective.
I think one of the things, yes, I think that they could set a less restrictive standard. In that instance, however, in my discussions with the Attorney General's office, is that the existing state statute, if more restrictive, would still continue to apply. There's nothing in this act that would prohibit either the state of Oregon or Washington in terms of developing through their own legislation land use standards that might be more stringent or more restrictive or more protective than the provisions in this particular act.
Let me understand this federal preemption question. This is more than just a federal bribe that we're used to. We're used to, if you do things in a certain way, you get a pile of federal money. In this case, some $35 million for two states. This goes further, right? That if the commission or the states fail to meet federal expectations, then the Forest Service comes in and does terrible things to us, right?
Let me explain what the Forest Service is doing right now. As soon as this bill was passed, the Forest Service entered into what is referred to as an interim management role. Currently, they are reviewing all new land use proposals within the Columbia River Gorge outside of the designated urban areas. That's roughly 250,000 acres. That includes lands that would be overseen by this commission if it's created. Right now, if they find a use or judge a use to be inconsistent with the provisions in this act, they may condemn that use. And they will continue in that role so long as there is no state by state commission. Now, it's modified somewhat once the commission becomes in place. The commission starts making most of these determinations of consistency. And once the management plan is incorporated in local ordinances, the Forest Service loses its condemnation authority altogether so long as those ordinances are upheld. So right now, the Forest Service has some rather broad authority within the Columbia River Gorge, and they would continue to maintain that if there's no commission. In fact, if there's no commission within a period of 3 years, the $10 million authorized for economic development goes into the Forest Service acquisition authorization. So we actually step back.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wires.
I think the point.
Think we need
Warren.
To hear. We don't need to hear that. Do it this year.
Senator Wires.
Okay.
Wait,
That's what Washington's worried.
On the questions that were asked about, could this have an effect of overriding Oregon's land use planning laws? The language in Section 5, the way I read it, I don't see any reference to the word law or statute that would in any way be able to override anything. This is just saying, as you've testified, I'm agreeing with you, don't look nervous, that this says that these agencies can act if a compact is set up. But I've been looking to see if I could see anything here where I could see the word land use planning law or regulation or anything like that, this could possibly be interpreted as superseding.
Yeah, that's correct. The federal act, I guess, just was explained to us, does do that with the Forest Service role.
But I'm getting
done by our action here. No.
I'm going back to Liz Frankel's concern about whether this might allow the compact to do something to Oregon's land use planning law.
Liz is concerned about the reference that was made, I think, earlier. There's another bill coming. The governor's office is talking about this other bill.
Yeah.
And, this is not really a matter for us to consider now, but I'm not convinced we need this other bill. And I think a lot of people need that convincing.
Nice. But in terms of the legislative history, what we're doing today, I just don't see anything.
No. Okay. It's up there in the future. Okay, why don't we, is there anybody else that wants to testify on this? I'll close the public hearing then on House Bill 2472 and open a public hearing on House Bill 5065. Did I hit the gavel right? Okay. Mr. Kennedy, would you care to join in this discussion?
Excuse me.
staff has a budget passed out to members. Are there extra copies for folks to take a look at? The reason we have a blank House bill is that the administration put in the appropriations bill on the Senate side despite agreements that the bill would originate in the House. So we found a vehicle that the co-chair graciously gave us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Daniel Kennedy, the Executive Department, Budget Analyst for the Columbia River Gorge Commission. I'd like to be very brief and present to you the governor's budget for the proposed commission. The object of this budget is to carry out the missions as outlined in federal legislation. A simple one-line budget contains $560,000 general fund and no FTE. With me, as you know, Jeff Breckel, who put together the details of this budget. In between us, we hope to answer your questions. Jeff?
Thank you. In putting together this budget, we had to make some assumptions. And I think, quite frankly, some observations. One is the different role that this bi-state commission will have over the existing one. One of a more planning and somewhat regulatory function over the advisory function we have now. One, that the federal act really prescribes the level of work that this commission is going to have to accomplish and provides a very fixed schedule for doing that work. Specifically, if this commission is in operation July 1st, 1987, by July 1st, 1988, it has to thoroughly inventory all the scenic, natural, cultural, recreational, and economic resources of the gorge. It has to prepare an economic opportunity study, which will identify ways under this bill, under the federal bill, that local economies can be enhanced. It has to prepare a recreation assessment, which will identify areas where we need additional recreational facilities and where those should be located, as well as define the locations and type of facilities to be constructed under the monies authorized for interpretive and conference facilities. That all has to happen within 1 year of the date this commission is established. Within the second year of the date that commission is established, they must come up essentially with what is very close to a comprehensive land use plan for the Columbia River Gorge, establishing land use designations. Within the third year, they have to flesh that out with specific development standards or performance standards for development within the scenic area and complete that management plan. The bill is based on...
Excuse me, performance standards to be developed? Could you explain that a little bit?
Performance standards for development, such as siting, location...
For what can be developed there?
Yes. There is some rather specific standards given in the bill for the special management area, but in recognition that in these commission-managed lands, we have a variety of land uses, rural residential, small communities, and commercial, that those uses will continue. There would be standards to ensure that those uses, when they do continue, do so in a manner consistent with the overall objective of the Act.
Now,
that consistent with my concerns a while ago of existing businesses and this type of thing will be allowed to continue? Is that what you were saying? Or maybe restricted some? Or what?
Existing businesses are grandfathered in place. There would be no effect on those. Commercial uses are allowed in these lands that the commission will be overseeing. However, the federal bill does prohibit industrial uses outside of the designated urban areas within the
bill. However, the gorge itself lends itself to commercial establishments in order to take care of the people that's going to be stopping to look them over.
So. Yes, and those uses are not prohibited by the bill in the commission-managed lands. They are prohibited by the bill in those areas administered by the Forest Service. But all of the rural community areas, such as Corbett, are by and large within commission-managed lands. The hearts of those communities are within those lands that would be administered by the commission. The commission could designate areas for commercial development in there, could set standards for that in keeping with the nature of those communities.
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Hannes.
If that's true, then the gentleman that spoke that lives in Bridalville but, or lives in that area but has a Corbett address, how would the, whose jurisdiction is he under?
I'd have to know more specifically where his property is. Okay. He says that he is in a special management area.
So he is, in essence, prohibited
from a commercial use.
From turning his house into a bed and breakfast.
I would say that that's probably a good observation.
By federal law?
By federal law. Mm-hmm. That standard doesn't change whether or not you enact this.
Okay, so we're not dealing with that issue.
Yeah.
We don't have to like it.
Well, no. I just wanted to clarify for the record that that is a federal issue that is raised separate and distinct from what we're doing here.
Yes. I wanted to give you a sense of the type of workload that this commission has in that first three-year period in terms of the work that it has to do. In addition, it also assumes from the Forest Service the reviewing development proposals for consistency with the Act as while it is preparing this management plan. This is the workload, roughly, that we based this particular budget on. So you're aware of what that workload.